We skipped from the EO report, and the main item that we had listed in there that I think is partially a response to
the LID.
A request from the board to provide some information on the LID center.
Yeah.
So we've provided a fairly complete report.
Yeah. When do we meet Darla?
You have met her.
She was introduced to us.
Yeah.
We were going to have a short presentation.
And me too. And when we changed the date from Friday to Thursday, unfortunately, Darla had a previous meeting up in previously scheduled meeting up in Sacramento. That's where she is today. And driving home, she is also meeting with Carl. Last name I can't remember, at the city
of Izawa.
Izawa.
At the
our favorite person.
Yeah, at the city of Salinas. So that's where she is right now. She's definitely earning her pay today. And there's a couple things I wanted to mention about that. One is that she called me a couple of hours ago on the way home, and we have two funding proposals that we've just recently sent up to the state board for the LID Center and LID Center work. One of them is to is for Darla and a team of scientists to create a methodology for developing criteria, hydro modification criteria for individual cities. So they would develop the methodology, and then municipalities would be able to use it for their particular situation. This is huge. This is really, really leading edge stuff.
Right.
It's in the country. This is leading edge stuff.
Right.
And she called me because she met with state board staff, and they really liked the project, and they said they will support it and take it to the state board and recommend approval of it. It's for $120,000 to do that work. The other proposal is for $275,000. We just sent that one up to the state board today, Roger and I did, and that is for funding for the general LID center work from August of 2009 through December 2010, so over a year of work. It's almost a year and a half of work. And I got a call back from Barbara Evoy today, and she wants more information on the budget. So at least they're interested. That's a good sign. So though, I just wanted to let you know that, and Darla was pretty darn excited about that first one, that state board staff is supporting that. And as you see in the report there, we have several other funding proposals and funding efforts that are underway.
Question, Michael, I have for Darla when we do see her again, but you could ask her to be thinking about this. I'm really interested to know, given her experience with Seattle, what are the differences she sees, you know, with that region and how they addressed utilizing LID, given the tremendous additional rainfall they have up there and flooding problems, and how she sees LID being implemented down here. You know, is there going to be a difference in approach, different, you know, techniques in VMPs or what?
Yeah. Okay. I'll pass it on.
You know, along those lines, I think this is okay to say, even though you've got some swamp approvals coming up, but when we met with as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we met with the Santa Cruz County four municipal representatives, including the county, on Monday afternoon, and they were talking favorably about capitalizing on some of the Washington State and Seattle experiences, and that might be partly because the rainfall pattern in the Santa Cruz Mountains, you know, more closely resembles the Pacific Northwest. Maybe it's related to geology too, but a lot of these things, there's a lot of things to be learned, even though they're in different geographic areas. And throughout our, you know, as you said, our region is varied.
Right.
Well, that includes with soil types, for example.
Right.
We probably have it all, and so there's something to be learned from every area, I think.
Are we working with the city of Gonzales and Soledad? Because they have large developments coming.
Soledad, I think, has an approved stormwater management plan, staff approved, executive officer approved, Gonzales is exempt, is that right?
Yes.
They didn't fall under the Phase 2 criteria. But Soledad is moving along and has been pretty progressive with their low-impact development initiatives as well as with water recycling. They're a lot more progressive than I thought they'd be.
Okay. Yes.
Before we leave the EO's report, Mr. Briggs, thank you so much for your updates because it really helps put perspective on a broader set of issues.
Thanks to staff.
Definitely, and to staff. And so my question is, thinking about SEPs, is there a point in the year where SEPs come up as any kind of assessment or review of the SEP program as a whole? And
you mean for existing SEPs,
existing
as far as how they're
SEPs,
doing?
How they're performing, how effective is our investment, you know, showing a range of types of projects? Does it link in with the priority problems in the locale and those kinds of bigger picture kind of filling it in?
Well, we don't have a regularly scheduled, that's for sure, but I'm pretty sure. But we did provide a complete rundown on all the grant and SEP projects. I think we lumped them together, or at least two different categories, but had the same presentation as far as mm-hmm. where they were and how they were doing. That was probably a couple years ago mm-hmm. we did that.
Well, if it's something that can be cycled back in sometime during the year, I think it would be helpful.
Yeah, it's not something that we have on the calendar.
Okay.
But it's probably...
Well, it strikes me also...
Probably overdue.
Yeah, didn't we submit... Well, of course, we had... Daniel Press was working on some kind of an evaluation of the SEP program, I guess, statewide. But didn't we also submit some kind of written assessment or support for maintaining the SEP funding? And maybe that would be a building block to say, you know, I'm sure you summarized the program, how effective it's been and so forth. Maybe that's a building block we could use to kind of show where we are with the SEPs. I would like to be able to continue to justify that in every level, and having that kind of information available to a summary type information makes it easy for me as a board member to use that information more frequently when I'm talking to folks about how important our work is.
Yeah, yeah, we did comment more than once, several times, on the value of supplemental environmental projects. We were against the state board revising the enforcement policy to bring that percentage down to a max. I think they started with a 25% max, and I think the recommendation now is a 50% max. So they did bring it back up. We were suggesting if you have to have a maximum, make it 75%. But they're still at 50%, and they keep citing the Cal EPA enforcement guidelines that say they shouldn't exceed 50%. So they seem to be thinking that that's what their policy should dictate. I guess the current version does allow for exceptions if you justify it. So there's some hope there. And part of our comments are that when you have a smaller penalty amount and then you cut that in half, you may eliminate the viability of some really good projects by really paring it down as far as the dollar amount. So they did include some language. It's not adopted by the state board yet, but the current recommendation does allow for us to justify some exceptions. And some of the regions are not too thrilled with SEPs, supplemental environmental projects, which actually might be good for us because part of the state board's concern is that all the money would go to supplemental environmental projects and none to the cleanup and abatement account so that they wouldn't have the money they need to fund emergency projects and that sort of thing. So if other regions are not going to utilize it, then that would be good for us because the state board would be more willing to look at exceptions.
Let's go home. Okay, last thing is agenda item 18. Right, Carol?